It's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here tonight on this week on the Tenpenny Files and On Your Health. This is a new show that I'm doing. It's just starting on Monday night. We're just kind of getting rolling. And you know, all the years that I've been a physician, most of the time I've talked to you about problems with vaccines and what's going on with politics of vaccines and all of that. This show is going to be about medical things and health. So for the first time, I'm doing this on your health. So in the midst of all this chemical disaster in Eastern Ohio that now traveling up and down the East Coast, I'm going to show you a few slides here in just a minute. We have two guests tonight. One is boots on the ground in East Palestine that's going to give us for real reporting that's happening right now in real time. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. And then we're going to have on a board certified physician who's the author of two books called Bad Medicine, the other one called Bad Politics. Now think about what we're doing and covering up. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and thank you for staying with us here this evening. I'm going to show you just a short little slide deck about what we've been talking about here. You know, this is a global disaster, and it's only alternative media that's trying to put anything out into the forefront. So if you can roll that PowerPoint that I put up there, that slide deck. There we go. So you can sort of see what that sort of looks like. So the next slide. Yeah, this is sort of something that a lot of us has already seen. You've seen it in a lot of different places across the internet, and only through alternative media, because mainstream media really isn't reporting anything on it. The next slide. What they're actually, and this actually shows us how far that train traveled for more than 20 miles with the axle lit up and on fire. And how many breaks along the way, how many places along the way did that, those safety signals not stop the train and not alert anyone to go and take a look at what was going on? Okay, next slide, please. So it traveled at least 20 miles before it malfunctioned. And they actually have camera. They actually have cameras of seeing that on fire, seeing what that's about. Next slide, please. So this is one of the, you know, there were lots of freight trains or lots of cars that were there that were full of chemicals. There's multiple chemicals that they've identified, but the one that's of the most concern that we've been talking about is vinyl chloride. It's a known class one carcinogen. We know that this chemical can absolutely cause cancer to the liver, brain, lungs, and other organs. It may damage the developing fetus. Did anybody in that, tell anybody in that town, hey, if you're pregnant, you need to leave and not come back until we clean this whole thing up? I don't think so. There's limited evidence on birth defects in animals that can cause male infertility and massive increases in miscarriages in the animals. Next slide, please. So after that, these are some things that we actually have in place. This is what we were first looking at, one of the slides that should have been a 200-mile radius evacuation from East Palestine. I don't think they evacuated even the people in the town, at least not for very often. The next slide. And this is the water catchment area. I think this is really a disaster. They knew as soon as this was happening, as soon as it was happening, that it was going into the Ohio River and many of the tributaries that go into the Ohio River. And so the fallout from the air would go into these smaller things all along the ways. And so this is going down across, you know, south of Cincinnati, all the way across Indiana, into the Mississippi River and down into our Gulf Coast. Next slide, please. And this is another slide that someone had created that from the area where the explosion was, that the cloud of gases would be going in that direction. I read in one of the reports that this could expose more than 250 million people all across the Midwest and all up along the eastern shoreboard to this incredible amount of gases and and fallout that they haven't even evacuated. So with that, those just to give you some idea of what we're looking at that nobody's really talking about. My first guest this evening that I'm bringing on is actually a boots on the ground, independent citizen journalist who went to East Palestine right after this happened, took his phone out and was like, why isn't anybody here recording this? Put it on his Twitter account, got 12 million views and ended up the first person, maybe the only person, that with boots on the ground that was on Tucker Carlson tonight sharing his information. So he's back in East Palestine tonight, and I invited Nick Sorter to come on and tell us what he's seeing and what his experience has been since he's been doing this citizen journalism in that, actually literally in that town. So Nick, I know you've been driving today, you've been driving and scrambling to sort of get into a solid place where we could have a connection to have our conversation. Welcome so much to the Tenpenny Files. I think you're muted. You got your mute on there. There we go.
You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No
it's
problem.
Been a long day. Sorry. But yeah, thank you for having me, Dr. Tenpenny. Yes, I am back in East Palestine. I'm actually sitting at a McDonald's right now. Here on the call, but I think there are a lot of things that are not being reported here that should have been talked about since day one, right? We're 17 or 18 days into this since the train derailment happened and there was an explosion. And, you know, there's still a lot of details that we don't know. We don't know who was actually responsible for making the call to, you know, blow the train cars up to, you know, incinerate the chemicals that were on the ground in the ditches and such. And, you know, we're trying to learn that day by day, but, you know, what we're also trying to learn is, you know, what kind of health effects are these going to have on the residents here?
I think that's probably one of the main questions that people have asked is like, who made that decision? Were there any chemists involved? Were there any doctors involved? Was this purely a political decision? Was it just people at Norfolk and Southern? Do you have any insight from wandering around there and talking to people and seeing the things that you're seeing? Is there any insight into the answering any of those questions?
So there have not been a lot, to be honest with you. There are more questions than answers at this point. What we do know is that Norfolk Southern is mostly in charge of this cleanup effort. And being that they are, they are the guilty party. Like, they are the ones that caused this disaster to begin with. And giving them the power to fix the issue and come in and lead the cleanup is a little bit disturbing, right? You feel like you should have, as a small government person, it's a little bit weird for me to say this, but I don't think Norfolk Southern should be the one in charge of monitoring the cleanup. It should be, the EPA, the federal EPA, the Ohio EPA, the Federal Railroad Administration, the Transportation Department, at this point, we're not seeing any accountability from any of them.
It's a little bit like the fox mining the hen house, isn't it?
Exactly.
Now, what are they going to cover up? Well, what is happening actually with the people that are there? Have people left? Have they gone to stay with relatives? Have they gone out of town? Are they staying there? Are they trying to protect their property? What's happening with the citizens that live in that town?
So there are a lot of people that have left and have not come back yet. They may come back. A lot of them will come back, hopefully. But there are also a lot of people that will not come back. And we know that if they have the means to, not come back, they're going to stay wherever they are because they are afraid of what's in the air and what's in the water. Because the government has told them to this point that everything was safe. They told them, a week and a half ago now, 10 days ago, that, okay, yeah, it was safe. You can come back. Okay. And then last week they say, maybe you should be showering with bottled water. Okay. Which, if you tell me I have to go to my house and shower with bottled water, I don't think my house is safe. So, I think that was a total lie. And, the people that can afford to stay out of town are going to stay out of town, but a lot of people can't.
What have you actually talked to some of the people that are still there? Have you had conversations with them? What has that been like?
It's been something that I haven't experienced before, right? You have a lot of people that have kids that they have taken out of town. They're staying with relatives. If some people that can't afford hotels without continuing to work will take their kids and they'll put them up in a hotel, 10, 15, 20 miles away. And, they'll come here, they'll come back to the town and work. And, and they'll go visit the kids like every few days. But, it's all about their kids. That's the biggest thing. And they do not trust what the government is telling them to bring their kids back and, bring their kids to school and everything. And I mean, that is what is the saddest about this entire situation, Dr. Tenpenny.
Can you still smell or taste chemicals in the air while you're there?
Absolutely. If you get very close to the crash site, I would say within, 250 yards.
Wow.
The smell is just, it is intoxicating. It you get choked, your eyes start watering. Last time I was there, I got like an instant migraine. It's not healthy. It's happening to a lot of people that live in the area. And even if you can't smell it at the time, even if you've gotten used to it, right, you still get those same symptoms and you almost don't know where they're coming from. And, so I've had that over the, when I was here last week, I had that problem, to the point where I had to start canceling morning interviews because I was so nauseous and I had migraines and everything. And it was miserable.
Are people being, you say that people come back there to work. What kind of businesses are still open?
So there are really not a lot of businesses open, such as manufacturing plants and such. They are closed for the time being because there are a lot of people that are out. There are trucking companies that are based out of here, but there are a lot of small businesses on the main street. But, during this entire situation, a lot of them have not been open because there aren't enough people here to support the businesses. So that's another sort of catch-22 type situation where, you know, you can't, you know, if there's no, if there are no customers, there are no, there's no work, which means there are no employees. So it's like, it's bad. So there are a lot of people that are out of work right now here.
You mentioned that the entire, it seems as though the entire investigation is being done by Norfolk Southern. Have you seen or recognized anybody there from the EPA or anybody that's from the Ohio EPA even that's there trying to help with this cleanup? You know, it was interesting that I saw a, I think it may have been something on Twitter. I'm not exactly sure. You read so much in the day where it kind of comes from. But that they said, isn't it interesting that we sent $100 billion to Ukraine and $0 for this cleanup in Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania, $0. How can that possibly be? You know, have you been able to talk to any official people there about the lack of cleanup help that's being given to our American citizens?
No, so they don't want to talk about that. That is the last thing they want to talk about when they come here. The only people from the EPA that I've ever been able to even get close to were on Wednesday of last week when you had the EPA administrator come in and, you know, speak, you know, briefly to the it may have even been Thursday. It was very recent. But, you know, they came in and they did like a couple of interviews with the press or a couple of questions with the press and immediately left. Right. There were no meaningful questions answered and no meaningful answers given, which is such a travesty to these people because they're going through a lot and they're not they don't know if they're allowed to drink their water. They don't know if it's safe. They don't know if it's safe to go outside and breathe the air. They have no idea. And so just having even these people in the area and, you know, why won't they answer questions? That is the thing that is throwing people off left and right here.
As a citizen journalist, and I know that you've been doing a lot on Twitter and you've been posting a lot of things, what have been the things that you found that were the most disturbing?
So we posted a video the other day with a resident. I went and met with a resident in her backyard, and I was actually I was bringing her on Tucker Carlson is what I was doing. So I was, you know, prepping her for that and everything. We were in her backyard, and I had, like, you know, we were sitting there talking for a while, and so I started trying to skip a rock is what I was trying to do. But that rock ended up sinking one time, and once it sank and hit the bottom, because I skipped it badly, that's when you had pools of chemicals that came up from the bottom. And that is the reason that video got so many views, is because nobody had seen that before then. That was the discovery right then. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, the EPA, Norfolk Southern, everything like that, like saying that they're doing their own tests and they're monitoring the water quality. But me, a Twitter journalist, is going on there and discovering that there is, I mean, you know, this ridiculous amount of chemicals sitting on the bottom of the creek bed. And, you know, I discovered that from throwing a rock in there. There's no way they didn't know that. And it just kind of like, it infuriated me and it infuriated a lot of these other people because they're like, okay, this is a cover up.
And what did that woman say that was with you?
She was dumbfounded. I mean, it reinforced the idea that she didn't want to bring her kids back here. Because her kids are hundreds of miles away. And she doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't have a car. I had to drive her to a job interview and we realized, like, you know, because like she was in, like, she's in dire straits, right? But her children are, you know, she can't bring them back. And this just reinforces the idea that she can't trust anything the government is saying. And she, like, she can't see her kids right now. And it's really sad.
What are people doing for things, for common things like groceries and, you know, the people that are staying there? How is that functioning for them?
So there are a lot of people that will not eat in the town at all, right? If they have a garden, they're not going to eat out of the garden. They will not, anything that has to be made with tap water, they won't touch it. You know, and especially like even showering, like I said, they won't take showers with tap water. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. But, you know, when there are some restaurants around here that are saying like, okay, yeah, we'll make food, but it's not with the tap water. around here. So, I mean, that's how a lot of people are getting it. But, you know, there are also a lot of people that literally can't afford to go out and eat, right? They can't go out to even McDonald's or, you know, Burger King or whatever and get food. They have to either eat prepackaged food or they have to just take the risk and use the water. And that's really sad.
What drives you to keep going back out there? I know you're not from there, but so what drives you to keep going back there?
It makes me angry. It makes me very angry. These people are being lied to. They're being manipulated. They are, you know, because you have, not to get too political, but you do have, you know, a state and a federal administration that do not, they were hoping this would go away, right? They wanted to brush it under the rug. And that's the biggest thing. So it didn't end up getting brushed under the rug. You know, the balloon thing for a while was, you know, the biggest news story, right? That was the news cycle for over a week. And so they were thinking, okay, yeah, 13 days after this happened, they weren't thinking it was still going to be a story. But I think citizen journalists, you know, yourself, myself, you know, other people on social media especially, blew this thing up. Okay, and made it so that they had to pay attention to it. They were hoping it was just going to go away, brushed under the rug, and we wouldn't have to talk about it anytime other. But, you know, when I was on Tucker Carlson the other night, that one of the things that was said was, if this happened in the middle of Washington, D.C., do you believe that they would have handled this thing the same way? Would they have blown this up in the middle of Washington, D.C.?
Or any other place, right? Any other place right. That there would be. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about where we can follow you and where follow your Twitter account and the things that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, I'm going to be here for, you know, people ask me all the time, how long are you going to be here? I don't know. I'll be here until the job is done, really. I pretty much moved into a hotel. And, you know, I think the people here need a voice. So if I can provide that voice, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I don't care how much it costs. We're going to start. You know, me and several other Twitter folks that are, you know, fairly big are going to start fundraising into a nonprofit that is going to dole out money to people and such. And, you know, we'll announce that tomorrow. But I think it's very important that we keep this going in the media, because as soon as it goes away, these people are going to be left for dead, to be honest.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that, because knowing what these, you know, even the vinyl chloride being a class one carcinogen that we know about, and then there's all the other chemicals individually that have a lot of toxicities, and we don't have any idea what the combined toxicity is, the combined explosive chemistry that happens when we put together these chemicals that have never been mixed together before and then burn them. So I think right. It's quite frankly more than just the people of East Palestine. I mean, it's like I showed in those couple of slides, you know, the aerosolization of what's going to happen. Who's going to follow the health conditions of the people all up the Eastern Shoreboard? Who's going to follow the health conditions of all of the stuff that gets in the water and runs down the Mississippi River all the way into the Gulf? Who's going to follow what happens to the animals? What happens to the foliage? I mean, all the acid rain that happened, you know, it's going to be coming down and acidify the soils. I mean, who's going to follow that sort of thing? And I think right. That, you know, our next guest after our break here in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Stephen Soloway, I think that his books and some of the things that he's researched about not trusting the government is going to help to solidify that. So I give you an awful lot of credit. I mean, what are you doing health-wise to kind of protect your health while you're there breathing in those horrible chemicals and trying not to drink the water? What are you doing to protect yourself?
So my biggest concern is the water. It really is. So I won't eat anything that's not prepackaged. My hotel is 10 plus miles out of town. And I actually looked at a map to show me where, you know, water was flowing to, right? If there were streams that were flowing from East Palestine into whatever town that I was looking at a hotel in, then I wasn't going to book a hotel there. I needed to make sure that there was not going to be any sort of contamination in the tap water out there. I would even look to see where they were sourcing their tap water, which is really scary, because this is the United States of America, right? The EPA should be able to tell me whether or not I am going to be, you know, ingesting carcinogens, right? Just based on, you know, taking a sip out of the tap. So I made sure I went into a town that was close to 15 miles away to be able to even take a shower. And that's so sad because this is not a third world country. So,
are you the only boots on the ground journalist, citizen journalist that's there?
So most of the days, yes, that has been the case, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like when I first got here on Tuesday of last week, there were no cameras in sight, which is why I actually got in contact with Tucker Carlson, because, you know, they saw me posting on Twitter, his production staff, and so he had them call me. And because there was nobody else, you know, I was just a regular guy, right? I was a software engineer. Okay, that, you know, I didn't have any journalistic experience before. And, you know, and then I got a call from, I saw a number pop up on my phone that was New York, New York. I was like, oh, that's a little weird. So I picked it up and it was them. But they had to call me because there was nobody else here to cover it. I mean, it was like mind-boggling to me. It's like the first TV show I'm ever on is Tucker Carlson Tonight. You know, so, and that told me a lot about the fact that there just was nobody else on the ground to cover it. And that's sad. But I'm hoping to think that, you know, people like you and I are blowing this up to the point where more mainstream media are now covering it. So I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, well, keep the pressure on them, Nick. And I'm going to have Michelle reach out to you and send you some supplements from our store to protect your liver and to do some detox sort of things that will help you, because you really are being brave, like walking right into those chemicals and things. And, it, you know, everything that I've read about the vinyl chloride, it's like the liver is really a bad thing that really needs to be protected. And so we'll do our part to help protect you while you're there trying to help the citizens of America and across the world. So, Nick Sotar, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. One more time, give people your Twitter handle so that they can follow up with you.
Yep. So down at the bottom, you'll see it's at Nick Sotar, NickSortor. So you can see me live tweet on Twitter all day. So.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The Kelly Key.
Thank you for hanging in here with us and having a really interesting conversation tonight about boots on the ground of what's happening in East Palestine. Nearly 2 weeks after the Norfolk and Southern train carrying hazardous materials has been derailed in that eastern Ohio village that sparked massive blazes, explosions, mushroom clouds, residents packed into a high school gym to get answers, and they are getting none. If you watched our first segment with Nick Sotor, he's boots on the ground saying they are getting no answers there, and they aren't even being regulated, or the cleanup isn't even going on by the EPA or the Ohio EPA or anything to do with Pennsylvania. So our second guest this evening is Dr. Stephen Soloway. He will bring some much needed guidance to this story. Originally from New York City, Dr. Stephen Soloway completed his undergraduate degrees at Stony Brook University. He attended the American University of the Caribbean School of Medicine, went through a lot of extensive training to become board certified in both internal medicine and as a rheumatologist. He's one of America's top rheumatologists, as a matter of fact, and has won many awards and achievements. He is a former appointee to Donald Trump's President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. He has published many mainstream peer-reviewed medical journal articles and holds multiple patents and 3 copyrights. He's recently published 2 books. In 2020, he published Bad Medicine, The Horrors of American Healthcare. And most recently, in November of 22, he published Medical Politics, How to Protect Yourself from Bad Doctors, Insurance Companies, and Big Government, which I think very much plays into this whole disaster that's happening here tonight. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you, Dr. Soloway. Welcome to this show tonight with the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I really, you know, you sat in and listened to part of what Nick was talking about. And your comment when we were on the commercial break was, he needs to be in a hazmat suit. Tell people why that is so incredibly true.
We've just witnessed Hiroshima here in the United States on a small scale. You saw the plume of smoke, which was to be covered up. And it was to be covered up because Norfolk Southern and other large companies have big lobbies in Washington. And the government overreach, which controls the media, is keeping it off the media very well. That's what they're paid for. They're paid to listen to the government. Everything is about listening to the government. We have a new regime that started 15, 16 years ago. There have been a couple of people along the way that have tried to fight this, and they've been shut down and had problems, which is why these smaller shows and podcasts are emerging, because the normal American person wants to know what's really going on in the world. Now, the Hiroshima bombing was the closest thing I could think to a toxic explosion, which caused poison gas, dead fish, disgusting water, streams that are heading in different directions, and we don't really know if this is going to have long-term death over 1,000-mile radius over the next 10 or 15 years, and I think that's quite realistic. This is no different than Chernobyl or any other disaster site, except the other sites, Chernobyl or Hiroshima, they were not kept secret. This is more of a, they call it a super, a site where they dumped arsenic 50 years ago, and they'd let you live there for free. This is one. This is going to be one of those sites. That soil is going to be contaminated for 6 half-lives of vinyl chloride and the conversion to benzene. And this stuff is rapidly and slowly fatal, depending on how close you are, whether you breathe it, eat it, or drink it, or whether you're simply near it. So the gentleman that was on the show prior to me, he really does need a hazmat suit, as do all the residents of that town that are not going to be evacuated. And the fact that the government is not evacuating that town and supplying these people food and money and fresh water is just an insult to being a taxpaying American citizen. This is absolutely absurd. This is in parallel to our loss of freedom of speech and our loss of good medical care. With woke government and lack of leadership, we are now in a situation where in live time, we are watching the despot power of the left take over and decimate the taxpaying moderate or partially right or radical right, which I don't like any radicals, but nonetheless, they have run a successful campaign now for 15 plus years, 15 and a half, 16 years, ever since Barry was in the White House. And, you know, he's having his third term now, and he's wreaking a lot of destruction on this country. And I feel very sorry for these people that are living in Ohio, because they might as well be living in Ukraine themselves. They're not seeing the bombs come in. The bomb just blew up. And again, you have a powerful railroad that's on the New York Stock Exchange. And this, you know, this is not to be critical of Norfolk Southern, because if this was Union Pacific or any other railroad, the same thing would be happening. It's whatever lobbyist has the highest bidding is going to buy off whoever they need to at whatever level, all the way from the White House and down. And that's just how America works today. And it's very sad. And people are going to die because of it. Thousands of people are going to die. And food sources are going to be contaminated. Now, who's going to answer for this in 20 years? Or are they just going to hope that all the people are dead 20 years from now and this topic goes away?
Well, oh yes, to all of the above. You know, one of the first slides that I showed in my little slide sheet here tonight is the 200-mile radius within 200 miles from around East Palestine. And what you said is absolutely true. Why is the government not there evacuating these people, taking them to safety, putting them in clean air, clean water? I mean, like what Nick said, that he has these horrible headaches and the smells and everything are really bad. I mean, what's happening to the groundwater, and then what's happening to the food sources and the chickens and the pigs and the cows and everything that's in that area? The government should be clearing these people out and putting them into a safe place. And instead they're saying, oh, go back and take a shower with bottled water. I mean, like, really? I mean, this will be a disaster. You know, when they burn the vinyl chloride, it can turn into phosgene. And phosgene was a chemical that they used in World War I that was a chemical to kill people because it caused choking. Another thing is it can burn into forms of dioxin. And dioxin, once it goes into the water in the soil, it never goes away. Think of Agent Orange in the Vietnam War and everything that happened in the Mekong Delta, that it's still there. I mean, the dioxin is still there. This will never go away. This will be a part of our country for 100-mile, maybe 200-mile radius that should be completely evacuated. It should be just like Chernobyl. I mean, can you imagine coming in the spring, Dr. Soloway, what that's going to be like with the foliage in the area and the crops and all of these different things? I mean, it's just an unmitigated disaster.
A couple of years from now, you're going to see what looks like a war zone. Everything is going to be dead. The trees, the plants, the river water will stop flowing. There's going to be dead fish everywhere. And it will take generations, if not a lifetime or more, for this area to be normal and be inhabitable again. This should be considered an uninhabitable area, and people should be forced and paid to leave, because they should be forced because they don't know that they did nothing wrong except live in the wrong neighborhood, and the government is fully responsible to pay these people whatever it takes to relocate them, house them, feed them, give them fresh running water. I mean, it's a constitutional right to have liberty and the pursuit of happiness, not to be poisoned by your government and have it covered up because you feel like it.
Exactly. Well, I think this plays very well, this whole conversation, into your most recent book on medical politics. How does, you know, when you say about how to protect yourself from bad doctors, insurance companies, and big government, I can't think of anything more that people should be reading right now in East Palestine, the how to protect themselves from bad doctors, insurance companies, and big government. Let's talk about that a little bit.
The medical system, like the freedom of speech, has been taken away from us. The government has said to Twitter, here, you guys handle the free speech, but we're not going to bother you, and you could censor whoever you want. Well, medicine's no different. Everyone can keep their doctor. Everyone's got health insurance, but we're not going to force Blue Cross to pay your bill. We're not going to force them to allow your test to go through. Your CAT scan can't be performed because either it's too expensive or some barista who lost their job at the subway station, who now works for Cigna, Oxford, or United Healthcare, Humana, they decide that they'll get a bonus if they deny that CAT scan when you can't breathe. So the proxy has been given over to the insurance company under a hidden facade of the government. And the best way to really say this is that everyone on Medicare who thinks they have free healthcare or freedom of healthcare, they all now have an HMO, because Medicare Advantage is a disadvantage. Because if your secondary is one of the private companies I named, your doctor's going to get paid Medicare rate, which is minimum wage for a doctor, while the private payer gets to decide with despote power whether or not your test and medicine are allowed and acceptable because of their own set of rules, which are not governed by anybody, and you're not allowed to think outside the box. There's no off-label use when there's a disease that has 10 million clients, future clients, then it's worth paying $1 billion to run a clinical trial. But if there's a disease with only 600 people that have it, nobody could care less because there's no money involved. Except when the doctor who's thinking outside the box, who understands inside the box, is not allowed to follow the standard of care or the protocol. I'm sorry. Yeah. Forget the FDA recommendations. The FDA recommendations are as good as listening to what comes out of Wuhan or you know, East Palestine. This is insane. There's totally incompetent or untrained people that are making decisions solely with financial incentive. And who is it hurting the most? It's hurting the people on Medicare. It's hurting those over 65 years old. And by the way, Obama wanted dialysis cut off at 75 years old. And that's the problem I alluded to that started 15, 16 years ago. So the Affordable Care Act means there is no care unless you can afford to not have insurance. And that's the only way the pendulum can swing back, in my opinion, before doctors become replaced by a kiosk. Not concierge medicine, but just fee for service. And you need a catastrophic insurance, because if you go in the hospital, I don't know how you put a wrench in the hospital system, you know, charging 10 and 50 times more than a doctor or some other place to get a Band-Aid or... You know, you walk in the door at the emergency room and you say, my thumb hurts. The guy looks at you, doesn't say a word to you, walks out the door, says, go home. You get a bill for $2,000 in a collection agency 3 weeks later. This is just, it's just insanity. It's complete insanity. It's a delusional type of mentality that people who believe into this, they have to be delusional because nobody could be born. That's stupid. It's not possible.
You know, I've said for as many years as I've been talking about problems associated with vaccines, the only vaccine I would support would be the one for stupid. You know, it might be the one that might be a good thing for humanity if we could vaccinate against stupid, because people are that stupid. People are that, they just are subservient. I mean, this whole unmitigated COVID thing with physicians that refuse to look at any information, they, you know, the death of literacy, they stopped reading, they stopped questioning, they stopped putting their patients first, they took an oath to first do no harm, and all they've done in the last 3 years is harm. And actually probably, you know, I could have probably really gotten had a lot of fun with you on writing this book, because I'm pretty sure that we probably have the same perspective on the mess that our healthcare system is. And I've said for many, many years, it's like a big building sitting on the edge of a cliff. Somebody needs to give it a good swift kick and knock it off the cliff and let it fall to the ground and break into a million pieces. And we just pick up the very essential pieces that we should have. You know, like if you break a bone, you probably do need to get your bone set. And if you have acute appendicitis, you probably need something there. But the vast majority of the rest of it should just fall apart and go away.
Agreed. We need to write that next book together.
We would have a lot of fun. That would be good.
Yeah,
Well, Dr. Soloway, tell a little bit about where you can get your books and how we can, do you have a website or some places that we can support you? Because I think that what you've written here, I can't wait to get my own copies, because I honestly think that we are absolutely on the same page about all of this.
If you have your girl reach out to us, you know, tonight or tomorrow, I'll send you a book immediately. The viewers can get my book at badmedicinebook.net, and that's a signed copy. So if you buy it through badmedicinebook.net, I'll pay the shipping and I'll sign it and personalize it to you.
Wow.
And I really do hope you get it from that website, badmedicinebook.net. Of course, it's available at other places, but I'm going to reemphasize badmedicinebook.net.
Yeah, you do that. You know, some shameless self-promotion there is absolutely fine.
You know, and I want to tell you, this says advice on. This should say patient information on polymyalgia rheumatica, fibromyalgia, osteoporosis, vasculitis. There's also scleroderma, and there's also Sjogren's syndrome in this book. My other book, Bad Medicine, has rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, and gout, my favorite topic of disease.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Thank you for your insight. I can't wait to get your book. You know, we've got other shows that Michelle's probably going to be reaching out to you to have you back on a guest on some of the other shows that we do that are a little bit longer, and we could have a deeper conversation about what's going on. So I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Thank you for your work, Dr. Stephen Soloway. And we'll absolutely one more time tell them your website where we can get your book.
Badmedicinebook.net for a signed copy of my book.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. And
it's
my pleasure.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, and I can't wait to come back.
Yes, we'll do some more. I'll actually have Michelle reach out to you. It'll be a lot of fun. Great. So in the last couple of minutes that I have here, I want you to just roll those. Can you put up that PowerPoint slide again for me? There's a couple of slides that I just want to cover at the very end here. You know, right there, that's very good. The next slide after that. Chemicals everywhere. We are just contributing just in a massive way. This is what America and the rest of the world sort of looks like. Next slide, please. And this was a Substack that I wrote this weekend. You know, every Saturday I write Eye on the Evidence, that you can find by going to drtenpenny, drtenpenny.substack.com. And I wrote a particular different way to look at what happened in the 1918 pandemic. And was it really chemical warfare that caused it? And I brought in a lot of chemical warfare information about what's happening in East Palestine. So go to drtenpenny.substack.com. They're all free. I spent a lot of time writing them, so I want you to read them. If you care to support our work by making a donation, that's fine. But I just want people to read them and share them, because there's a lot of great information there. I also do a second Substack on Sunday called On Walking with God. On Walking with God, which is my inspirational Substack on Sunday. I kind of write it as much for me as for anybody else, because it's just a really, it's a little diversion away where we should be focusing, which is on our Lord and not just on all the disasters of the world. So the next slide there. this is how many chemicals, 70,000 chemicals that are now listed. And that was in 2005. I'm sure it's more than that now. Over the last 50 years, and that there are 10 million new compounds being unleashed each year. And that's combinations of things that we don't even know about. Next slide, please. So these are a few things that you can do. Limit your canned food, avoid plastic containers. If you bring something home wrapped in plastic, remove it right away. Don't use nonstick pans and nonstick sprays. Don't use things that you can use, that you can cook on the stove, that you're gonna use in the microwave. Filter your drinking water, and if you're, now I think that's more important than ever. And those different things are different things I can't read because the timer's on top of there, but go to the next slide for me, please. Next slide. So we really recommend zeolite spray. This is something that we advertise on our website a lot at dr10penny.com. This particular zeolite gets rid of all of those toxicities in your body, anything that you may be exposed to now. And you can get, if you use that QR code or you go to the website under the shop tab where it says buy zeolite, you can get a special discount of discount for your first time buyers. Next slide, please. And I think everybody should have a form of activated charcoal in your house. It doesn't have to be this one, but it can be this is one of the ones that we sell in our store. It's called the Ultra Binder. It's a little powder pack that you take a little bit every single day. I recommend taking it at bedtime. But any type of activated charcoal is better than none. And it really does bind up chemicals and environmental toxicities, heavy metals. You need to do that every single day. Next slide, please. And so there's kind of a list, the zeolite spray, the activated charcoal, NAC and milk thistle is so important if you're anywhere close to any of this vinyl chloride, because it's the liver toxicity that's going to be really bad. Iodine deficiency is really important. You need that to protect your breast and men to protect your prostate. And natokinase is a natural blood thinner that you can take, because this vinyl chloride will accentuate any of the toxicities you may have in your blood from these COVID shots. So you need to have a natural blood thinner on board that helps. And natokinase is a proteolytic enzyme, so it breaks down a lot of things. And CoQ10 helps to protect your heart from spike proteins. Next slide, please. Skip that one. Let's go to the next one. And just so if you guys can see that real close, those are all the weekly schedule of all the shows that we do now. We do 3 on Monday, we do 2 on Tuesday, we do 2 on Thursday, and then I have a Substack on Saturday and a Substack on Sunday. And you can find that list at dr10penny.com. So with that, one last slide. That's the next slide, is just to say goodnight. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. We'll see you back again next Tuesday, or next Monday night. I guess it is Monday, isn't it? The days all run together for me so much sometimes. So coming back to having us back on Monday night, mark your calendars. It's a great place for us to be. This is the 10 Penny Files on your health. And I thank you everyone for being here. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time for a coffee with Dr. T. Just come to our website and you'll see it. Think about it, going to a coffee shop and just enjoying a conversation, answering your questions on Tuesday morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning. If not then, we'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.